All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We're back with Vampirella. Yeah, hadn't said that in a long time. So we're just doing number four, just like we did one, two, and three, you know, about a couple years ago. And maybe we'll do some more later. I don't know yet, but I would like to try to slide in some creepies and eeries and vampirellas here and there, because they're only about 40 minutes. I timed how long it takes to do one. So they're not hard for me to throw in. I mean, they're the same length as one of my normal videos, so it's easy. But let's go ahead and get started. Does this strange girl represent the forces of good or evil? See page 5. I'm okay with either. Greetings, sorry sorcerers. I'd like you to meet a couple of hot numbers whose nefarious necromancy so inflamed their neighbors that the demonic daughters were burned at the stake. Jean, a ravishing young 16th century witch, was the daughter of a gypsy mother who was burned for witchcraft, denounced and dragged into court backwards so she would be unable to cast her spell upon the judge. She was told her accusers were reasonable men who wanted to learn her secrets and understand her. She was brought to the torture chamber when she refused to cooperate, but strangely enough, the torturer was unable to harm her. Sweet Jean was, however, taken to the stake the next day and burned alive. Anne, a lovely 17th century witch, was taught the black arts by a wicked widow, and the widow's accomplice brother, the girl, was brought to a witch's Sabbath when only 14, and there made a pact with the devil. Soon thereafter, the mystic mist commenced handing out potions and spells to an ever-growing following. A spell may have backfired, or a potion proved impotent, but in any event, she was discovered, but only the widow and her brother, widow and her brother were burned. Unrepentant Anne continued conjuring until she was again arrested, convicted. The teen trickster was given a new dress, a sumptuous meal, and then strangled and burned at the stake. Damn. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Alright. We're not gonna go for this. Oh wow, that's interesting. I'd like to comment on your real groovy magazine. I think a lot of other GIs here in Vietnam. Wow, my father was in the Vietnam War. Both of them. I had, you know, stepfather, real father, that sort of thing. But that's interesting to see. It's what a lot of these guys did on their leisure time when they're literally fighting Charlie. I mean, that's what it was like back then, guys. Interesting. These are like a snapshot of the world, you know? Can your mailman take it? Sure he can! And you can prove it for yourself. Just mail this coupon for subscriptions to any of the terrific Warren magazines. Your mags will arrive safe in a strong envelope, and you'll die of pleasure. So you'll get the Vampirella books. 6 issues for $3. 12 issues for $5. Man, that's the price of one comic nowadays. In Canada and outside, you gotta add $1. Well, yeah, that's Canada, though. Prologue. Zodi pulled back on the ring of her cog, looking once to check the weapon next to her. Once before, a Krakaton monster had attacked her in this region. Once before, she'd been ready for it. Her journey brought her no comfort. From the doom of a world slowly dying, even her whims of hope could not conceal the truth. There was no escape from Ulafon. Yet, even in the refuge of this world, Zodi could not deny herself the existence of others. Somewhere in the constellations outside of Ulafon, she knew other life waited. Rumbling interrupted her thoughts, and Zodi turned just in time to watch the shuddering ceiling above her tremble, then yawn, opening a chasm upon her. It was then she heard the scream. Swing into my thing and vampirellatives. And swing out of realities, I steer for some fear that'll focus your pocus on fantasy. But be careful, your goggles might foggle in the boggle of a forgotten kingdom. Now, as he probed the screen of his life detect finder, well, I mean, good a name as any, only the uninterrupted scan of the glowing beam filled his eyes. Balance removed itself as the brittle surface beneath him crumbled and sent him falling. Plunging through a world above him that had died during time, and to the realm of another waiting below which had not. Look, Cog, it is alive. Until I am certain why it comes to our world, I think it better to make sure it will not resist. We must bring it to the Temple of One. We will show her what we have found. A man creature. He remembered falling, but this place, this girl, the creature she rode, what had happened to him? What place was this? I must convince her I mean no harm. Discovering life here means too much to my world. A snarling threat suddenly snapped Zodi's senses into action. She saw for an instant the quivering form of the beast as it readied its leap. Krakaton! There was no time to act beyond reflex. Lost my rifle back at the cave-in, but I can still use this! You have saved my life, man creature. If I am to owe it to you, I would like to know your name.
I come from a galaxy many stars from this place. Others like me have searched eons for life beyond ours. There I am called Kiefer.
I am Zodi, citizen and servant, as all of us are, of the Temple of One. When we return, I will speak for you.
And what will happen to me, Zodi, when we reach your temple?
That must be decided by the Temple of One. She already knows of your, or excuse me, she knows already of your powers. They have never seen a man before, one called Kiefer. To them, you are almost unknown.
Boy, I bet he's happy.
No men? But how then do they exist? Come closer, Kiefer. I have heard of your great powers and how you destroyed the dreaded Krakaton. It was a gesture in which can only mean you have come in peace. Speak, Kiefer.
Great Temple of One, there is much your people and mine can do for each other. Yeah, I bet. In my world, my hope has always ended in failure. All the secrets, all the pleasures of my world can be yours. Surely we will be able to help one another.
You have noticed, then, there are no men here on Olifon. Almost 200 years ago, all life on the surface of this planet faced extinction. A plague, brought back to Ulifon from a distant constellation our government explored, suddenly destroyed whole populations. Everywhere, people died without cause we could cure. We soon learned that only men were dying. For some reason, no women felt any effects other than temporary blindness. And while they stumbled helplessly about in a world that was doomed, the last man on our planet succumbed to the fatal disease. Those of us who survived burned our cities and fled to the safety of our inner world. Although we were able to synthetically reproduce our offspring, none of those children were male. Gradually, our systems became infected with the toxic ingredients needed to spawn. Not one member of Ulifon was conceived for almost 20 years. In another generation, our world will no longer exist, unless you agree to help us.
Well, where do I sign up, ladies?
Suddenly, the glowing edges of the light around him softened into a blur that was blinking his mind shut. His head felt squeezed, if balanced.
You can't be serious. Why, a thing like that would take years.
I'd have no choice but to spend the rest of my life here in Ulifon. I don't recall mentioning that you had a choice.
Sir, it's not the worst punishment.
The last reflex of his body vanished into a whirling explosion of black, just before his eyes shut the piercing agony from his senses.
Take him to the tower and leave his weapon here with me. I will decide later what will be done. Yes, O Great One, it will be.
As tens of thoughts flashed into his mind, Kiefer's eyes drained the room in quick swallows he tried to focus. His weapon was gone.
Which one? Very ingenious. No doors, no windows, no escape. It looks like I'm here for keeps.
What?
Not if you trust me, Kiefer. Here is your weapon. I took it from the Temple of One.
If I take you back where I found you, can you find your way back to the ship?
I'm sure I can, but you're coming back with me.
Crawling tingles pinched Kiefer's spine as he leveled his disintegrator at the girl. Guards, he'd never killed a woman before. Now, if they could only slip past the Temple of One. Look, Kiefer, we are discovered! Temple of One! Make no mistake, traitors, your punishment will be severe. No one has ever disobeyed me. Your pet Zodi, do you think it faithful? Show them, Cog, who your master is. Even you, Cog? A slave to her? You have betrayed me. Die, then, as Temple of One commands. You wanted the power of my weapon, great Temple of One. Now you can have all of it. You do not dare to do this. I forbid it. Illiphon was in its throes of final agony. The ground, it's beginning to shake. Hurry, Zodi. We must get back to the ship before this place rips apart. This way. Quick. Zodi, look. The ship. We made it. Thousands destroyed. At least I managed to save you. Funny, I can't think of sharing you with anyone. I feel the same way about you, Kiefer. Promise me you'll always be mine, Kiefer. Promise. It's not possible, Zodi. My superiors would never permit it. What do you mean? On my world, there are no women. Just how lucky can one girl get? Just think of all the date mates she'll meet once Mr. Kiefer introduces her to the boys. Oh, boy. Maybe if I'm no good, she'll lend me the leftovers. Wow, yep. Come on, Gust Gang, really blow your minds on this breezy bit of billowing banality as we flutter up a frightening fable to unflap you. Miss Bassey came to the screen door when she heard June ring. June was the answer to a problem she and her husband had pondered for many nights, and so she was extremely pleased to see the young girl. Good afternoon, Miss Bassey. I'm June Highland, the governess for Olive Guard. Of course, June, won't you come in? The wind was a good playmate today. It shifted the sand gently for little Olive Guard and told her of Miss Highland's arrival. It also whispered that Olive Guard was to be especially nice to her and obey her always because the two of them were going to be very close. In fact, they would soon become closer than sisters. Ooh, this is starting to sound like the games I do on the other channel. You will find that Olive Guard has become a lonely, brooding child. This is understandable considering that she is the only survivor of an automobile accident that took the lives of her mother and father. We are hoping that you'll be able to change that. Olive Guard, I didn't hear you come in. This is your new governess, Miss Highland. The wind has told me of your coming. I know. Please call me June. She's a treasure, Jim. They liked each other immediately. Why, they even look alike. A bright orange sun drops into the waves of a sea that has lost its midday vigor. Mr. Bassey has returned from work.
They look alike? Do you recall that Olive Guard once had an older sister who ran away from home when she was a child? They say she was killed in China, but her body has never been found.
Sisters, Jim, do you suppose that June suspects anything?
If you mean about the accident for her sake, I hope not. Don't worry, we'll have the entire weekend to find out exactly who she is and what she knows. Let's get some sleep.
Silently, the night covers the beach, and like a tiny apparition, Olive Guard steals through the house, clutched in her small white fingers a lean weapon in search of a heart to murder. There is no anger in her innocent face. She's unaware of her horrible deed.
Huh?
Olive Guard, don't! She tried to kill me. She was standing there with that knife. I'll take her to my room, Miss Bassey. She won't bother you again tonight. She was only sleepwalking. She knows we're after Olive Guard's inheritance. They're trying to murder us. We're smarter than they are, my dear. Tomorrow, while I'm in town, take the little one for a swim. Make sure she doesn't come back. The breezes were soft and steady that day, coming from inland instead of from the ocean. The seagulls circled, waiting the act. The wind had told them was going to happen. June, dear, I think we could all use some lemonade. Why don't you make some for us? Of course. The waves are so beautiful by the jetties, but be careful you don't slip on the seaweed. The wet pail slips from Olive Garde's fingers. Yay! Suddenly the wind rose and brought Miss Bassie's death cry to June's wailing ears. Waiting ears, rather. A shiver ascended from June's heart and passed through her lips to leave behind a perfect Mona Lisa smile. For nearly an hour, Jim Bassie stood over his wife's grave, gathering the courage he needed to return home. For Martha, it had ended, but for him, the ruthless task of vengeance still remained. Now he wanted Olive Garde's life more than her money. When Jim returned home, none of the lights were working. He was relieved. Moonlight suited his crime perfectly.
Olive Garde? June? Are you about?
Upstairs, Uncle Jim.
I'm coming upstairs to tuck you in.
The lamp misses Jim by inches. In the dim light, Jim mistakes a rolling beach ball for his running niece and empties his revolver into it. Olive Garde, hold on. Ha 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 ha! No more bullets, Uncle Jim? Olive Garde's laughter echoed throughout the room. Jim's eyes searched instead of the rustling of the curtain. I came back for you, my darling niece, but first I must attend to your sister. Jim dug two graves that night, but only one was destined to be used.
It needs to be deeper. Fuck!
First there was awareness, then awareness of darkness. Slowly he began to feel the damp sand packed tightly around his body and realized he could not move. As his vision cleared, Jim saw the moonlight reflecting from the pools of sand close to his face, much too close.
Oh my God! No! No!
Good evening, Uncle Jim. Uncle Jim, then you are Olive Garde's sister. Oh, we're much closer than that, Uncle Jim. You see, I am Olive Garde. I come from 10 years yet, and a very poor future for me. You and Aunt Martha murdered my parents to get my inheritance, but I've corrected all that now.
But how is it possible?
I've been able to contact the wind. It brought me through time to this place. The wind and I are old friends, Uncle Jim. See how it brings the tide in for me? Goodbye, Uncle Jim.
And the tide came in, splashing its depth into the screams of Jim Bassie's mouth. By morning, the water will have washed away this grave. When they find him, they'll think that he drowned himself in remorse.
Thank you, Olive Garde. Good girl, dear Olive Garde. I return to my own time. Goodbye. I love you.
Come, old friend. It is I, Olive Garde, Witch of the Winds. Take me on one last journey before you are gone.
The obedient wind swirls about its mistress and carries her through time and space. Well, space and time, whatever. To the omnipresent wind, space and time have no barriers. You guys get it. But the journey does not end where Olive Garde expects it to.
There's been a mistake. What am I doing here? Let me out.
Tisk, tisk. What a pity. We were making such progress, and then she suddenly reverted back to that absurd story about the wind and traveling back through time to visit herself as a little girl. Completely insane.
What is her history, Dr. Clay?
She was committed here when she was 8 years old for murdering her aunt and uncle. She would probably have gotten away with it if her older sister hadn't told us what happened. She disappeared right after that herself. No one's heard of her since. Hope that stirred up a staggering surprise or two to assail your frail sense of imagination. And you thought that draught was going to be a breeze. Come on in, neighbors, and set a spell. We is going uppin' the Ozarks and have us a good... Oh, hold on.
That's what it says. We is going uppin' the Ozarks and have us a good old time in them dar hills. Maybe get on the old mule and ride out for a delicious bottle of hooch. In other words, a keg of moonshine.
Paul Klug just wanted to fix his flat as fast as possible. The Ozarks didn't offer much business to a salesman, and people in these parts didn't care too much for salesmen, but he had to go this way to reach the big city.
All right, young feller. Don't you make no move or we're gonna ventilate you.
Lamb's right, mister. Just hold her right there.
But
But I'm just fixing a flat tire. Give me a few more minutes and I'll be on my way. You have my word on that. And hurry up and fix it, so you can move on. We don't cotton much strangers around these parts, especially city slickers. I'll be done in a second. That girl, what a doll. And I think that smile was meant for me. Yes, sir, I sure would like to hang around a while and follow that up, but I've got my life to think about first. Okay, feller, finish what you're doing, but remember, if we find your hair when we come back, your hair's gonna get blowed clear off. Nice, fellas. Nice, fellows. All right, I won't be long, and thanks again. The job completed, Paul Klug moves on, thoughts of a business somehow eliminated by recurring vision. I just can't get her out of my mind. There's something alluring about her. Something mysterious I can't quite put my finger on. Something about her eyes. Those big, beautiful green eyes. They reminded me of somehow of a... Good Lord! What? The brakes! Screech! That was close. I should have just run you over. That would have served you right, because I could have ditched my car on account of you. And that's strange. Its eyes, I can't seem to look away. They're hypnotic, almost like... Wait! Wait for me! No, excuse me. Hold on. We messed up a little bit. No, that's too crazy to even consider. Hey, where are you going? Wait for me! I must be flipping out talking to an animal like it can understand. Leaving my car back there. Hey, it's gone. All the way up here, wrecked these $40 shoes and these rocks, and it just vanishes. Gone. Hello? Hello there. Fancy meeting you out in these parts. I'll be right out. Now turn the other way. All right. I won't look. I'm right glad you didn't listen to Zeke and Lamb. Them two can be the mighty ornery if they want to.
Oh, I didn't come back. I was on my way like I promised when all of a sudden this black cat leaped in front of my car. I stopped and it led me here.
Okay, you can come down now. I noticed your car and your clothes. They're plumb nice, mister.
The name's Paul. Yes, they are. But say, you didn't see that cat, did you, by any chance? It just seemed to disappear.
No, I ain't never seen no cat. Of course, them critters ain't scarce in these parts.
I better get back to my car. Can I drive you anywhere? I mean, if those two friends of yours don't mind.
They're my brothers. No, don't fret. They ain't around here. And your car's safe. Nobody around to swipe it for miles.
I...
You like my eyes? Pretty, ain't they?
Yes, yeah, so pretty that I can't turn away. I have to look deep inside them. Couldn't resist even if I wanted to. And then I'd have to be insane or dead.
Paul, darling, how's about you giving up your city ways and living out here with me and a clan?
What, me? Live out here? Me?
I mean, we could all sure use that automobile of yourn, and I got a hankering for you myself. We'd get hitched. You'd be one of us.
Well, I don't know. Yes, why not? My belongings are all yours. Look, I've fallen prey to that southern charm myself, folks. It does happen. I'm talking real country girls, just like that. Now, as a young man, come up here from the north, and my neighbors, just two country girls, both sisters. I was just a teenager at the time, and so were they. And you do fall for that charm, I'm going to tell you. It's different. Now, the South ain't like that anymore, but, I mean, I'm talking about something 25 years ago. But, yeah, no, not even 25. Yeah, was it? Almost 30? Maybe 30 years. Might have been 30 years ago. No, it was definitely 25. 24, 25 years ago. Yeah, it's a long time. The South isn't quite like that anymore. Maybe in some parts, but not like that.
Course, like I said, first you gotta become one of us. Then you can spend the rest of your life here with me. Maybe even longer.
I don't understand.
You will, Paul. Soon enough, you will.
And so, Paul Klug's coveted automobile rolls in the direction told... I don't know if it's Klug or Klug, but whatever. In the direction told by the strange hillbilly girl into the sun on the horizon.
I guess this must be the place. Some dump. But I can't resist.
It's okay. I told him the deal we talked about. He wants to stay here, and we get to use his car and stuff.
Why, you're even better at that sort of thing than I ever thought.
Lamb's right, I reckon. Or, he says, yeah. Say, Lamb's right, I reckon.
Confusion governing his movements, Paul Klug allows himself to be led inside the ancient shack.
It's an honest-to-goodness still with authentic moonshine. Why, this is worth all the uncertainties to be able to say I tasted actual moonshine. Is this what all the mystery was about? You thought I was a revenuer?
Not quite. Here, take a drink.
Like I said, you had to become one of us if you wanted to stay on here. Otherwise, we'd have to kill you. We couldn't let you leave.
Nope, I reckon.
I used to have Southern folks say that shit to me. It's like, well, you know, we can kill you. It said there was a... Oh, damn. What was that damn movie? It's where the dueling banjos came from.
You see, we ain't like most folks. That's why we don't cotton much to strangers. We're kind of special. Zeke and Lem here, well, they're what you call warlocks.
Ick!
And Cousin Irv up on the ceiling? He's a vampire. He wasn't up during the day, just snoring away till nighttime. And for little old me, well, I'm a witch.
I did meet southern witches out here, folks.
And that there stuff you drunk, it wasn't just ordinary stuff, no siree. That there was a mighty special brew of moonshine. Welcome to clan, Paul. Welcome.
That'll learn ya, city feller. Leastwise, this way you ain't gonna tell no more of them there traveling salesman jokes. And about that brew, well, you're gonna have a lot of hicks from now on. Y'all come back now.
There's a little secret my adopted uncle and cousin are trying to hush up. They'd have us believe all the Frankenstein were men. Look into my eyes, devilish darlings, and I'll tell you the tale of a lady monster maker who died for the love of Frankenstein.
Oh, I saw... Well, maybe I shouldn't talk about that, but... I mean, it depends, you know, because this is going to be on YouTube. But on another platform, there was a gentleman that uploaded a movie. And it was kind of like that. I know. He basically said, it's like I connected everything perfectly. Heart beats, blood flows. Only thing I can't get working right is your day.
I left my ass off. All right, but maybe this is what's going to happen here. But not so vulgar. The laboratory had been built with the fortune that Frankenstein's left the Krolliks, their only heirs, and the last, Dr. Krollick, used the money to carry on the research.
Katak! Katak! It must work this time! All these failures have to lead somewhere!
It was the seventh attempt. Even the vast fortune of Frankenstein's couldn't sustain any more.
The electrodes have burned out. The experiment has failed again, Dr. Krollick.
Don't use that condescending tone with me, Dr. Hofstein.
The failure is undoubtedly due to the decayed brain you brought me.
Disappointment had hardened Hedwig Krolik. Now a bitter, selfish woman, her research was all she lived for.
Dr. Krolik, I mean Hedwig, why do you continue with these experiments? They can lead to your destruction, my dear.
Eric, do not call me your dear. All personal involvement we might have had been long since ended. I cannot tolerate your physical appearance any longer.
Eric remembered as medical student she had loved him for the power and the grace of his agile mind, but now she only saw his flaws.
I know what you think of me now, Hedwig, but please listen. I am only trying to help. What you are doing is not only illegal, it is wrong in a monstrous sense. Remember the lesson of your granduncle, Dr. Frankenstein. He died because of his experiments.
Dr. Frankenstein. Well, I mean, he was Jewish, I guess.
Eric, you are a twisted, distorted worm. I keep you here with me for two reasons only. You are an exceptionally able surgeon, and you amuse me. Hedvig! All right, Hedvig, but once you loved me, and I shall love you for that until I die, for that is more than anyone else has ever given me. I must treat him more kindly. No one else would do what I ask of him. The little creature's devotion is my most valuable instrument. They watched for the seventh time while the flame consumed their work. The storm seemed to have stopped, Eric. This is very good wine. Yes, Hedvig, it is from my private stock, remember? Hedvig realized that she needed Eric to obtain yet another body. She knew what she had to do to get it. Eric, my darling, you know what I want you to do, don't you? Yes, yes, Hedvig, I do know, and I shall not do that again. Eric realized that he would eventually give in to Hedvig's demands, but he knew what he could eventually get by. It continuing to refuse, and his desire sickened him. Yet this game recurred every few weeks, and it was all Eric lived for. Eric, my dearest, and now the game has its conclusion, and who wins, I wonder? The next evening, put the body in the panel trucks. You'll like this one, Doc. I mean, Mr. Smith. There were always shady merchants who would sell bodies so battered by auto wrecks that a wax dummy had to be placed in the coffin instead. I am going to put a stop to this when I get back. She can control me like a puppet. I must stop it. I am a man, no matter what she or anyone else thinks. But Hofstein knew in his soul that as long as Hedvig shared herself with him, even in their bizarre fashion, he would be her slave. That is unless something utterly new occurred. Must they always be so damaged? But this one, only the body is injured. The brain and spine are intact. Hedvig, we must stop this. You're a genius. You can do other more constructive. Shut up, worm. If you think what happened last night had anything to do with reality, you're sadly mistaken. Let's go to work. All through the night and into the morning they worked, Hedvig driven by a desire beyond physical needs, Eric by his distorted love for the only woman who had ever shown him any kindness. The body was now assembled. All that remained to be done was the injection of Dr. Frankenstein's special serum, the ignition of the ultraviolet ray generator, and the starting of the powerful generators. Look! It's alive! It's alive! My God, Hofstein, it's alive! I'm afraid the current was too much for the brain, Dr. Krolik. It's dead, though the body lives. You have proved you can do it. Now let me kill it. It is too hideous to live. I won't stop now, Eric. It will live, and it will think. We need a new brain. Let's have some wine, Eric. Let's not play that little game again. I'll get the brain for you, Hedvig. This must be the last time. She must be satisfied with the conclusion of the experiment. It was a relatively simple manner to obtain a fresh brain, if one knew the right people to ask. But on the way home, yes, little man, desperate little man, rush on, bank, pander to her insanity. The creature would be a monster too hideous to live. Slowly, Eric returned. He knew, or at least he thought he knew what she would do. Hedvig, you are going to leave with me now. We will explode the dynamite I planted in case of detection, and no one will know what we've done here. No, no, I can't. The experiment is almost concluded. But, Eric, I love you. That may have been true once, but now you love only my skill and complicity. No, Eric, you're wrong. Tell me, what did you do with the brain? I destroyed it, and now I'm leaving. I am sorry you did that, Eric. Now you will supply me with the brain I need. Hedvig wasted no time. She immediately took Eric's body to the laboratory and began the operation. Hedvig worked feverishly. She disposed of Eric's twisted little body and brought the new one to life. Hedvig! Hedvig, why did you do this thing? I have given you a new strong body, Eric, a beautiful body. I assembled for you a beautiful... Excuse me, guys. Let's go back a little bit. I have given you a new strong body, Eric, a beautiful body, one I assembled for you, a beautiful body. No, Hedvig, I'm hideous, more hideous than I was before. I love you, I love you, I love you. Dear Lord, Hedvig, don't you realize what you've done? I hate you. I have always hated you. I stayed with you. I know now only out of a twisted desire to humiliate myself, to make my love as distorted as my body. No, Eric, don't hurt me. I love you. I love you. You're... hurting. Stop. Ah! Why, Hedvig? You love me. This is your lover talking. Eric's misplaced mind had gone. He thought only of revenge. Revenge on Hedvig Krolik, the only person who had meant anything to him, and the person who had killed him. Hedvig, you're so beautiful, so dead. I said I'd loved you until I died, and you killed me. Now you're dead, but I know what to do with dead things. Goodbye, Hedvig, my lovely. Crackle. Eric was not too insane to know where the explosives were. He threw the switch that started the fuse. Kathoom! Poor old Eric went all to pieces just when Hedvig started getting hot flashes for him. Guess we can't flame him, can we? Okay. Vampirella lookalike Kathy Bushman nearly had everyone fooled. Ah. Dick Piscopo, only artist in the business with an economics degree. That's probably more useful now than the art degree. Ah. Your venomous vixen, Vampirella, has a real web of wickedness to spin for you this time. But if in spite of my warning, you insist on reading this awful moffle, then go to your Webster's and look up the definition of arachnid before I retell the curse story, or the cursory rhyme that begins, come into my parlor.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a feat unparalleled in circus history. Miss Arachna will walk the high wire on her toes only. No net. She's beautiful. I must meet such a woman.
They're spellbound. If they only knew how very easy this is for me.
Please, I hope you won't think me forward. But I saw your act tonight, and I was fascinated.
Why, thank you.
Your skill, your strength. I've never met such a woman, and I wanted to.
They'd call him a simp these days, wouldn't they?
You're very kind. Would you care to join me for coffee?
That sounds perfect.
You've got quite a large trailer. Yes, it is. Follow me, please.
Funny, the trailer looked much larger from outside.
Why, yes, that door behind you leads to a small laboratory. Science is my hobby, but the coffee is boiling already.
Science? I've always been interested in science. May I see your laboratory?
No, I mean, I never show it to anyone. It is my little secret, but it is getting late. We performers must get asleep, you know.
I'll be blunt with you. I must see you again.
You've been honest with me, so I'll be with you. I do not enter into friendships and associations. I am a woman with a secret which must be kept.
I will not pry into your secret, and I ask no promises from you, only your friendship.
All right, Mr. Hartman. Call again if you like, and now, good night. I should have sent him away for good. I must not ever harm anyone else, ever.
Jim Hartman did call again to watch her perform. Fascinating. I never tire of watching that wonderful woman.
And visits her trailer afterwards. I've confessed I'm falling for you. Won't you share your laboratory secret with me now? I think it's best if I don't. It's for your own good. Please trust me. We must learn to confide in each other.
Please, trust me. We must learn to confide in each other.
All right. I'll show you. I've been carrying on these desperate experiments for years.
Experiments? What do you mean? Spiders! Nothing but droves of spiders!
Yes, spiders are of particular interest. Do they disgust you?
I know a lot of real women that have spiders. A lot of women, and I say like real women, you know, my real life. Big spiders, too. Like, just all kinds of tarantulas. No! Nothing about you could ever disgust me. I want you to marry me.
No, never.
But why not? Don't you care for me?
Oh, if you only knew how much. That's why I've been unable to send you away. In my weakness, I am accursed and cannot marry. Don't ask me why.
But I must ask.
If you bear an awful secret, you must share it at some time or I'll go mad. All right, I'll show you. Look then. Did you stop to think about my name? Arachna? Taken from arachnid? The scientific term for spider? No, your hands, they're like a spider's, but how? Years ago, I was a young research scientist. I was particularly interested in spiders and their great strength and agility. If I could discover what gives them these abilities and isolate it, what a gift to mankind it would be. I worked for years and finally I extracted it, a chemical hormone that gave spiders their abilities. This is it. I know it. I decided to try it on an animal. If it works on this dog, the benefits to mankind will be endless. The results were astounding. Incredible. It climbed the telephone pole and now walks on the wires, just like a spider. Unfortunately, the dog was run over and killed by a car soon after. Oh well, it doesn't matter. The serum is a success, at least I've proven that. If the dog had lived, I'd have seen the side effects that followed. This will prove the serum's effect on a human, and then I'll astound the world. At first, I was delighted, but 2 weeks later, some other effects appeared. My hands, they look like a spider's. Anyway, you can see why I can walk the high wire so easily, and why I can never marry. But why? I don't care. I love you anyway, and I'm wealthy. Perhaps with my money, for research, you'll find the cure. My spider serum had given me... No, okay. That's kind of weird. Alright, I skipped some things, guys. My spider serum had given me a spider's prowess as well as a few other attributes. I cut myself off from everyone who knew me, wore gloves, joined the circus to raise money to continue my research, hoping for a cure, but it's useless. And then he's like, of course... But why? I don't care. I love you anyway, and I'm wealthy. Perhaps with my money for research, you'll find the cure. No, you can't mean it. Now that I know of your brilliance and courage, I love you even more. Marry me. Marry me tomorrow. Oh, all right. I know I shouldn't, but I'm unable to resist. Clankety clank. Well, darling, what do you think? Excuse me. That's the wrong voice. Well, darling, what do you think?
It's lovely. I think I'm going to be very happy here.
I knew I was right. I'm glad I got you to give in and marry me.
Oh, how I wish you hadn't. You see, most times I don't care, but you are so kind and generous that I really didn't want to hurt you.
Hurt me? I don't understand.
I couldn't help myself. Remember, I told you that the serum had given me a few other spider attributes? One of those attributes was the mating instinct.
You mean that your actions are to some extent controlled by instincts? Well, I'm still glad.
That's not all. You see, the spider I used for my experiments was the Black Widow. Besides the instinct to find a husband, the Black Widow also devours her mate.
What a darling dinner our dangerous damsel had. Not a bad idea, but I so much prefer just the blood.
Anyway, this tearweb old tale has an important moral. Never trust a hairy woman tightrope walker. If you don't believe me, ask Miss Muffet. Also, I'm kind of curious if this predates Spider-Man. Because that could say a lot. Somebody could have literally read this comic and like, hey, why don't we do that for real and make it this huge Marvel superhero? I don't know. I will actually look up Spider-Man number 1 and see if this actually came out before. I mean, you never know. Maybe one of the guys at Marvel was reading Spider-Man and... like, or no, they weren't reading Spider-Man, but maybe they were reading this issue of Vampirella. Might be something Stan liked to read when he was a younger man, and was like, oh, wow, we could do something like this. We could create a hero. I mean, it said giving the humans the strength and agility and of a spider, which is what Spider-Man had, so it damn near feels like it could be a copy. Very interesting. Till death do us part. Seven husbands never knew how true those words would prove to be till they were forced into a deadly game of run for your wife. Bob, look at this. I can't believe it.
John, it's exciting.
Dear Madame, you and your husband are cordially invited to enjoy an all-expense-paid trip to Slovenia. They were to be the guests of Count Sarov at his castle in the mountains. For each wife, he included $1,000 bill to spend as she pleased. That's not even near enough now. Ooh, smooth, sexy, chic, purr. What do you suppose those trenches are for? Too bad our pilot doesn't speak English. Beneath the Gothic castle of Count Sarov, strange ditches circled the mountain. Who had put them there? Welcome! The others have preceded you. We will soon all meet for dinner. Please come in. A weekend with such charming company is not long enough. May you never wish to leave. Food's marvelous.
Superb host. And the servants aren't bad either.
After dinner, the guests all retired. Hurry up, Fred! Little realizing they were being watched by secret eyes. Ah! Ah! You're the best-looking gal here. Flattery will get you somewhere. Hello, beautiful. In the privacy of the Count's room, a remarkable transformation was taking place. Oh, wow. Ah, oh, that's better. Tomorrow the run begins. An incredible transformation. Between the wrappings, Dr. Jekyll was a Miss Hyde. The Count was an account... The Count was an account... Countess? Okay. The next morning, the guests assembled in the living room. Now if you follow me to the tennis court. Now all the women over on the right side of the net. The husbands will play opposite them on the left. Suddenly the poles at either end of the court shot up like express trains, dragging behind them a net of metal links. What is this, Count? What's going on? Oof! Please exit quickly. The bewildered men found themselves lined up at the mountain's edge, their wives frightened.
Steady, hounds! Now over the top and don't stop till you're at the bottom if you ever want to see your wives again!
Can he mean it? Is he mad? Good God! Go! No, I won't play your mad game! But the unleashed dogs quickly changed his mind. Thank God! Down the mountainside they scrambled to what doom they could not guess. I don't think I'm gonna make it. Good God! No! Ah! 4 men approached Trench 2. Which one of them would it claim? Help! Helen! Yeah! Hidden landmines were everywhere to discourage the guards. Explodable at any distance by Sarov. Baroom! Ah! But there's nothing in it. I'm safe. Safe! Oh no! My God! Red ants! I'm being eaten alive! Ah! Mark! Mark! I'm coming to you! Stay back, you fool! I have other plans for you! Fight them, Mark! I'm coming! I'll blow you to bits first! While Sarov was intent on destroying the runway, one of the other wives unleashed the snarling beast. Now, Sarov! No! No! Grah, grah, grah. The Mad Countess will play her game of death no more. And my job for Investigators International is complete. Oh, interesting. Woo, that was a real case of going to the dogs. Better make your next vacation Disneyland. Just tell Pluto that Vampirella sent you. I do send you, don't I? This space reserved for you. Vampirella's looking for young blood for new fan club page. Here's your chance to send Vampy your drawings, paintings, photographs, short stories. Then look for them on this page. Who knows? Some great undiscovered talent may be discovered right here. And maybe you. Name this feature and you can win $5. That was a lot back then, guys. Wow! $5! Yippee! No, that was literally what it was like, guys. Alright, so we're on 5. And I'm not reading 5. You know, because we were only reading 4. But we can read 5 again, and we can also finish the Eerie comics. I think we can do a lot more of those, guys. The Eerie, the Creepy, all those. Why not? I mean, I like this stuff anyway. It doesn't necessarily have to be funneled into our normal comics. I can just, whenever I feel like doing 30-40 minutes of comics and just having a grand old time reenacting the 1950s kind of thing that they do with these books, you know? I feel like I'm, you know, I feel like it's those old Turner classic movies, you know, the 19, like I said, the Casablanca and all that kind of thing. I just try to bring out those old accents and, you know, just kind of remember what it was like. All right, guys. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord, and we will see you guys next time for more great comics on Grimm's Comics Corner. Remember, we got Power Rangers on, Saturday. I'm bringing back Power Rangers. I know you guys are excited. So Power Rangers, and then after that, we'll be going back to Chaos Comics, and I know you guys are ready because I look at the hits. I know what you guys like. We just have a, we have a routine. That's how I do it. All right, I'm out.